Okay, Chair, you can call the meeting to order.
Sounds great. Sorry, pop-ups popping in. All right, I will call the meeting to order.
Okay, let me read the opening words, please.
Thank you.
Hello, welcome to our virtual meeting. We're going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. Members of the committee, if you're able, please activate your video for purposes of quorum and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you're speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Please use the raise hand feature when you would like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all participants will be unmuted briefly. Staff, click raise hand when you're asked a question. The chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. Staff will tell you when your time is up. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
Sounds good. So, sorry, bringing up the minutes.
Roll call first.
Yes, please. So, would you like to call the roll?
Sure.
Great.
Sean Geer. Sh
Present.
Sean Geer is present. Michelle Probst.
Present.
Michelle is present. Kelly Kearns is excused, and Brock Woods.
I am here.
Brock Woods is present. We have quorum.
Okay, and so is there anyone registered for public comment?
No, we don't have any registrant.
Okay, fair enough. I think to be fair, the only item is Paul with commentary or the plan, correct?
No, the minutes need to be approved
Oh,
first.
I'm sorry. Has everyone gotten a chance to look at the minutes from last meeting? Any motions to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Anyone second?
I'll second.
Okay, thanks, Brock. Okay, so all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Minutes approved. So no public comment and just the management plan for Moraine Woods, right? So any recusals? Anyone want to sit this one out? Okay, fair enough. Paul, would you like to go ahead? And thanks for sending out the info beforehand.
Sure thing. You guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So this is making our progress through management plans for all of the 21 conservation parks. I just updated a little tracking spreadsheet the other day. I think I have five left that have no management plan at all. So bringing this one online, Moraine Woods. We haven't done a whole lot of work there. We only acquired the site around 2018 or 2019. Last year, we added 8 acres to the property along the southern border of the original tract. So that increased the size a little bit. We have received capital funding to do some work. So we have started hiring contractors to come in and do some initial invasive species control, particularly buckthorn and black locust in there. So there's had a little bit of treatment so far, but it's time to get it under a longer-term management plan. And so that's the topic for today. So the site's 46 acres. Mostly it's wooded. A large part of it had been logged, high-graded, as foresters call it, prior to the city acquiring it, unfortunately. So they went through and took out the best value trees and just honestly left kind of a mess in its wake. The canopy that remained was pretty poor quality from a timber perspective. The trees that were left were spaced out, and subsequent wind events caused a blowdown. So there's a lot of downed trees in that area. The parcel is situated on a sort of a north-facing bowl, sort of little drainage. And so the wind was able to funnel across some farm fields right up into these logged woods and blow down a few more trees. So it's an absolute mess to try to walk around in the site. So that's why we also why we haven't made much progress managing it to date. And so we address that as one of our big challenges in the site. So that said, there is a lot of natural regeneration in the woods. It's a deciduous forest. Disturbances happen and it regenerates into deciduous forest with proper management. And so that's what we're hoping for. There is oak and hickory in the overstory, along with a lot of other more mesic trees species. But we want to guide it and take advantage of the oaks and hickories where appropriate, which is through most of the site. And then in some of the lower areas, sort of allow the ash and hackberry and species like that to regenerate a little more just for diversity. There is a bit of a kettle on the very edge of the property, and there are more glacial kettles as you proceed west along the moraine here. So that's an important feature in the landscape. So that adds some hydrological diversity to the site and therefore species diversity. Yeah, and then another major feature of the site is this 7-acre cornfield that's sort of right along Woods Road. And so for the foreseeable future, we figure the best thing is to just let the farmer keep leasing it and keeping that in corn for now, because it's free of weeds and we have plenty to keep us busy in the woods, getting the woods in a better shape. So that's part of our plan for that. The property was acquired because the city's interested in helping to acquire public access to complete the Madison section of the Ice Age Trail. And so this, along with the Bitzer Family Preserve, which was donated to us a few years prior to this acquisition, is located to the west. And I'll zip down to the map here to show you that. So the current Ice Age Trail comes through University Ridge Golf Course. Oh, I'm not sharing my screen. Sorry about that. Oh boy, now I got to find it. We just started with Teams at work, and so we use Zoom less and less. So now I'm getting rusty on Zoom, it looks like. Where's the screen share?
We need another round of COVID to come through, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Up to speed on Zoom again. Sorry.
I don't see it. There it is right there. Boy. Okay. How's that? Can you all see the management plan now?
Yes. Yep. Okay.
Thanks. Sorry about that. So here's the property highlighted in the middle of the screen there. Make this just a little smaller so it fits. It's along Woods Road, which is between County Road PD and Midtown Road to the north. University Ridge Golf Course is located to the east, and the Ice Age Trail comes right through University Ridge and terminates right at Woods Road. So the plan is eventually the city and some other partners will have a string of public land that the trail can go through. And so these are the city's two contributions to that currently. The Bitzer Family Preserve, which is 8 acres. It was donated to us around 2017. And then the current Moraine Woods property. We are talking to the neighboring landowners to see if eventually there's some sort of path for ownership or at least an easement that we can get through there. So just extend this property and help complete the trail. So that's the broader picture while we're messing around in this part of the world. But in the meantime, we'll do our conservation park thing and manage these properties to improve their ecological condition. You can see on here, there's a bit of a trail system in there right now. Some of it's in progress, but that's where it's gonna be. Basically, when we visit the site, we walk along the edge of the cornfield And then there's an old skid road that goes down to here. And then we're working on connecting these other existing trails. So that's kind of how we're envisioning first whack at breaking up the site, just to provide access for management, as well as, you know, turning into a nice hiking trail that people can use eventually. So there's that. I'll scroll down to community types. For the most part, the area up here, I don't know if you can see my cursor moving, and the central and northwest portion of the property had been logged prior to the city acquiring it. So this is where it's still a dry mesic forest, but it's much more open overstory canopy right now. That said, there is a lot of regeneration, some oak and hickory, a lot of cherry, a lot of hackberry and elm, as you can imagine. So those are coming in. So we want to manage the site going forward to kind of maximize the longer lived and oak species that are there, to take advantage of that, and then allowing for more music species, particularly in this lower section of the property where the elevation is lower and the soil is more music. Most of it's forested. As I said, this southern end was added most recently last year. And so we've had a contractor clear out invasive species in the understory in that southern end of the property. So, but the overstory is much more intact, but it's lacking in a broad diameter distribution for trees, and it's sort of lacking in understory native shrub species as well at this point. And then the northeast portion of the property didn't seem to be as heavily logged and seems to have just a more open canopy to start with. And there are a lot of white oak and bur oak in there and some hickory. And so we're kind of considering that as a more of an oak woodland sort of community. It's already more open, has a lot more sun-loving species in it. And so our initial management is going to focus on returning fire to that portion of the property first. You know, trying to develop the younger oak and hickory species that are in there, and along with removing invasive species like we're going to do through the whole property. And then, as I said, this cornfield here, for now, we're just leasing it out indefinitely until we're ready to turn it into a parking lot or some sort of prairie or savanna, or maybe just plant trees all the way across it. It's low priority right now for us to manage that. The site's broken up into management units, mostly divided by, there's a bit of a ridge, and this is where that one trail goes. And then there's an old trail that goes up this way, which is also about where the oak woodland sort of area sort of ends. So in terms of management units, this is where we're drawing the lines for right now, just to be able to define areas for contracts and management prescriptions. So pretty straightforward. The species list we have is pretty basic. It's sort of quick and dirty because we haven't spent a lot of time out there taking the time to go through and actually document the full list of species. But that's one of the things we want to do over the next few years as well, just improve this. But this is our basic list of the things that jumped out immediately at us. So about 70 species, a lot of them the usual invasive species like Dame's Rocket, honeysuckle. There's a lot of common buckthorn. There's a lot of Japanese barberry on the site as well. And then there's a pretty big population of black locust in the north central portion of the property that we're working on removing as well. So those are the big threats to that. The bird list didn't make it in. I apologize for that. I thought I had attached that. The bird list is pretty short, and I don't remember how long off the top of my head, but I downloaded data from eBird for the area surrounding the park. And to be honest, in that area, mostly it was just a lot of suburban bird species. Didn't have a whole lot of deep forest-dependent species. Didn't really pick up a whole lot of migratory songbirds either. So again, like we'll have volunteers and staff go in and do some more monitoring for the birds and see what's actually using this site particularly around migration time, because there'll be a lot of things in there. I know that I've seen ruby crowned kinglets in there late in the year, so that's a potential addition. So this follows the same formats as all of our other plans. Is this large enough for people to see? All right.
I've got it printed, so yeah, I'm good.
Oh, good. Even better. So again, I feel like this plan's not quite as in-depth as some of our other ones. Like Owen Park has gotten pretty in-depth, although we're on our second iteration of that plan, so we've had time to work on it. But, you know, and then partly it's one or two habitat types at this park. I addressed that one of the conservation values is rusty-patched bumblebee, more because we're in the high potential zone that's mapped by the Fish and Wildlife Service. That's one of the species or one of the suites of species we want to get more information on and get people involved and do like the bumblebee brigade to see what native pollinators we do have using the site. Kelly Kearns, who's not here, did send me an email and she had a few questions, which were really good feedback. She doesn't think it would be likely that we'd actually find a lot of rusty patched bumblebee in there because there's a lot, it's surrounded by agriculture and more forest land and then the golf course, and that's kind of it. So there's not a lot of prairie habitat to provide additional habitat for the bee to be in there. Otherwise, it's sort of an open forest right now, having been logged. So it's within the mapped high potential zone because we know there's a lot of rusty patches around Madison, but they may not necessarily be at this particular site. That said, we'll proceed and make sure that, you know, if we do find it, we'll try to make sure we're managing the site in a way that helps them. Yeah, and then I mentioned the logging, how that kind of took its toll on the canopy. The threats here are really just the invasive species and then the lack of fire that's been on the site for the last 100 years. So a lot of our forests, almost all habitats in the Midwest have been shaped or adapted to fire in some degree. And so given the oak canopy here, it's obvious that at one point there was likely fire on the landscape. So as we restore parts of the property, we plan to use fire across it in various frequencies. So the goals are pretty simple, just restore the woodland, try to guide the regeneration of the canopy into the dry mesic forest areas of the property, and then also really control the invasive species and use fire more often in the oak woodland portion, keep that canopy more open, and just provide a range of habitat settings through the park. Again, just maintaining herbaceous plant diversity, and then doing additional monitoring to, as I was mentioning, like more plants and birds and insects. One of our considerations here, particularly as Parks works to connect the parcels that they already own, is to try to bring the neighbors along with us and build support, and try to do some outreach so that they're interested and engaged. So they understand what we're doing to manage our land, and hopefully that will spill over and they might be inspired to manage their land in a similar way, or at least really get on board with the idea of this big natural area that's managed for ecology and provides public access. In short, we don't want to alienate any neighbors with anything we do out there because we might be doing land deals with them in the future. So hopefully. The management history is pretty short. As I said, we have hired contractors for a couple of years in a row now to remove invasive species, just sort of like initial work. There's a lot more follow-up that needs to be done, and we're really looking forward to doing that. Particularly this winter, we're going to have staff in there with the forestry mower attachment that we just bought. So we feel like we'll be able to start clearing out portions of the park and phasing our way through all 40 acres eventually. This describes the management units a little more. The northeast corner of the property is the oak woodland area. The central part is largely the logged area. And then the south unit has the most intact, mature canopy in it, although the understory had a lot of invasives. So working on those. Again, we used to have like the bronze, silver, and gold level of management. We've streamlined that into basic stewardship, like the things that this site absolutely needs to be sustainable. And then habitat improvement are just some suggestions for how we can make that happen faster or make it even higher quality than just the bare minimum of keeping out invasive species and creating a sustainable plant community. So the meat of it here is that, you know, continue to work on removing invasive shrubs, particularly the woody invasives, but also the biennial species, which dominate some portions of the understory. So like garlic mustard and Diem's rocket are really pervasive through portions of it. Portions of it aren't covered by garlic mustard and Dame's rocket. Sometimes that's because there's invasive shrubs instead, but sometimes it's because there's a lot of raspberries, which are native at least. But so managing all of those together, as I said, after the blowdown, there's a lot of woody debris, both from the logging slash directly, but also trees that have fallen since. And so just managing that, in some of our oak woodland and savanna sites that have been without fire for a long time, there's a really large accumulation of down woody debris. And so we have hired contractors and done some work in-house to like gather that debris and either remove it from the site or at least gather it into piles so that you can work through the rest of the site and be able to do a prescribed burn safely and, you know, have even just have space for native plants to grow sooner, but rather than waiting for all of that wood to rot. So that'll be something we'll be working on here, at least like starting to gather some of that. And we have specifications for that we use internally, which is an appendix on the last page here. So this is the kind of the parameters we've been using in some of our other parks, like Owen and Turville in particular. So this is kind of just shooting from the hip, but it leaves a minimum amount of debris that's large enough to stay in place for a long time. And so this will provide about 5 logs per acre that are at least a foot in diameter and 10 feet long. Often there's larger trees than that have fallen and are too big to be practical to move them anyway, and so it fits in logistically with that. But by removing all the medium diameter stuff, which would be like our tanager fuels and things like that tend to be a challenge for doing prescribed burns and just moving through a site, and so it reduces the fire intensity that way, so we can have a better control over it, safer fire, less debris around, but still leaving, you know, calling out an amount of woody debris that we're leaving in place for habitat. So that's our compromise that we've been working with lately. Otherwise, so the woody debris and then sowing native seed, obviously, but managing tree recruitment, so particularly in the area that's in the northwest portion of the property. Right now it's early successional forest, a lot of cherry and hackberry, elm, and some oaks and hickories. Going in there and managing brambles so that the trees can actually grow, and possibly going in and like releasing some of the trees that we think will be good canopy dominance, just to ensure that, say, oaks make it into the canopy and things like that. So a little bit of thinning, or at least also probably some planting possibly of some trees in areas that we think are really lacking canopy, just to make sure that we guide it into a forest situation again in the future. So that's part of what we'll be doing. And then fire through the whole site. Got the 5-year work plan. It's pretty Spartan, it seems like, but going in sections, trying to work on condensing that woody debris and forestry mowing some of the areas. We've considered possibly using goat grazing in here to keep some of the shrub layer understory under control. We want to make sure we have enough trees that are up above goat reach before we do that. But if we come in with a forestry mower, we can control some of that brush and work around future canopy trees that we identify. So that's our plan for right now. And it'll open the site so we can get in and follow up on the invasive or the herbaceous invasive species as well. So between that and fire and spraying resprouts in areas that get forestry mowed, that's our current plan to begin to open up the site and regenerate the woods. Yeah, that's kind of it. And then following through with seed mix in areas after they get burned. Right now, there's a lot of the areas are dominated by brambles. And so once the raspberries get removed either through fire and or forestry mowing, ensuring that we have a diverse herbaceous plant community to replace that and occupy the understory. So that'll be part of the step as we work our way around the site in portions. The other thing that was on here, I talk about monitoring for Asian bittersweet. It's not on the species list yet. I'm surprised that it's not. So either we've missed it or I wouldn't be surprised to find it in a setting like this. And so that's why it's on there, but the work plan doesn't necessarily address treating it, just something that Kelly pointed out, and that was a good point. And so if we find it, we will treat it, of course. But calling that one out in particular, because I think that it'll invade this site pretty easily if it's not already there. There is some nearby on the Bitzer property to the west, and so it's likely already on the edges of the site if it's not in the middle. So that's one. I can probably change that and monitor for it earlier and call out that we'll treat it if we find it. So that was it, I think. Kelly had another question about, I mentioned planting trees and shrubs. She asked about trees and shrubs more in the southern unit where there's more of a closed canopy. And she thought it would make more sense to plant trees in the open canopy area. Right now, the open canopy area, the northwest part of the parcel, it already has a lot of native shrubs coming in with the rest of the regeneration. So it didn't seem like there was a need to add any there. But that 8 acres along the south end of the park is kind of just overstory and not a lot of understory and not a lot of native shrubs. And so that's an area where we could add some. There are a few canopy gaps in there. It's not so shaded that native shrubs wouldn't grow there. And so that's where I talk about adding them in there because it's lacking it altogether right now. But we're expecting, you know, the ground layer and shrub layer to change a lot and really start to take shape through the rest of the park as we clear the invasives. And that's it. Otherwise, for habitat improvement, to achieve the long-term goals of this faster, it would be nice to do a full forest inventory and get like a diameter distribution and come up with a silvicultural prescription to see if some point the regeneration that we have now, if it starts to get to a point where the site would, if it could benefit from doing a mid-story thinning at all to have trees grow around faster. Either way, if we did that, great. If we don't do that, it's still a form of habitat. It's just how fast we want to get to an end goal. And then hiring a contractor to do forestry mowing faster is another option as opposed to staff pecking away at it. The monitoring section here is pretty standard like our other parcels, so just some possible photo monitoring at 5-year intervals, documenting our oak regeneration and our canopy cover, particularly in the oak woodlands section, and then just continuing to add to our species lists. The average annual budget, including labor, which is staff and volunteers, and the cost of that plus any contracts. So these numbers may not correlate directly, these last two columns, but We figure the annual cost will be about $41,000 a year when you account for everything that would be happening under this management plan, including contracts and just staff and volunteer time out there. So that's part of where all the money's going. And that's it for this. Does anyone have questions? Brock? If you're talking
I'm here, actually, Brock, Michelle, anyone?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, didn't have my audio on.
All right.
Yeah, no, I drive by that periodically. I was wondering who owned it, and it's glad to see that Madison has it and this work is ongoing. Looks like a neat parcel. I've never walked it. I'll try to get out and do that. The Ice Age Trail dead ends at Woods Road. You envision that going through the property. Will that go into the Bitzer Reserve then?
That's our hope eventually, yes. And then from there, it'll continue to the northwest, wherever it terminates currently. I don't actually know, but it picks up again as you go to the northwest.
Okay. The Bitzer property, that was given to Madison, did I hear you say? And if so...
It was, yep. I believe it was around 2017. That's 8 acres.
Are you working on that too?
We are, yeah. We have a management plan for that we wrote a year or so ago. Really small property. It's sort of just an old field, but there's a lot of prairie species on there. We gave it its first prescribed burn last fall. And we're working on some Asian bittersweet around the edges of the property. And there's a kettle that's half in the property and half on the land of the person who donated the Bitzer property to us, who they're also doing ecological restoration. And so together we're working on reed canary grass in the kettle there. So that's kind of nice.
Interesting. Okay. I guess you're more likely to find Rusty Patch, maybe if they've got more prairie out there.
Maybe, yeah.
Growing neighborhood to the north, I think, northeast in particular. Is there a neighborhood association or anything set up out there?
I don't know. There's Hawks Ridge, and then I don't know if there's another subdivision next to it or if it's all Hawks Ridge or Hawks Landing, one of those. I don't know, but yeah, we should reach out to them.
And so this area and the Bitzer are combined. This is all conservation park land?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, yeah, good to see you have a policy about leaving logs. It sounds like it fits in with the debris that was left there. You talked about shooting from the hip in that regard. Is your the debris that you're going to leave? Does that just kind of come off the top of your head, or did you have some kind of reference for an amount of those sorts of things to leave around for herps or insects or that sort of thing?
I tried to find something online and couldn't really find anything. I don't know how much research is out there on it. So it's based on a bee won't have to fly more than 200 feet to the next log statistically on average to get from habitat to the next like overwintering habitat patch.
Okay.
Interesting. So I'd love something a little more robust.
Yeah. Okay.
A little more based in science. I'm not sure where to look.
Sure. I don't know if you regularly reach out to UW Botany or Entomology or anything about some of these things that if you needed a more regular analysis of the vegetation. It almost seems like a smaller property like this could be ideal for botany students, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Will do.
And as far as you know, nobody's using biocontrol for garlic mustard yet, correct?
As far as I know.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, that's too bad. Boy, Minnesota spent so many years working on that. Okay, sort of last question. So, you know, the big question about budget for the city.
Yep.
If the referendum doesn't go through, if I've got the right information from what I've gleaned from you guys, it sounds like winter efforts in the parks might be curtailed more than some other things. But if the referendum doesn't come through, how's that going to affect your conservation park budget?
Yeah. So with the reductions that Parks has proposed, really just the winter, not providing the winter services is where I'm not answering that well.
Well, that's kind of what I've heard, is it's mostly winter.
To be honest, our staff can focus more on restoration work if we're not doing as much ski trail maintenance, or certainly the man-made snow. But doesn't seem like it'll affect the day-to-day restoration work for us. And some of that can be funded by our capital project funding as well. But there's still, like, you know, annual maintenance and employee expenses. So the budget reduction shouldn't affect our ecological management too much at all.
Okay, I've wondered, because there's discussion about staff layoffs. That's where it seems like it might come back to really hurt you.
I should let Chad talk to that more.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah, thanks, Brock and Paul. So, yeah, the Paul's conservation and to a greater extent even our ecology staff in general parks was fairly untouched through the budget proposals that Eric submitted. So there isn't a lot that conservation is going to see as far as reductions, but most of the proposal reductions are due to service reductions. So what Eric has talked about is that we can't have a service reduction without a staff reduction, because they're intertwined. So, you know, the fact that, you know, one of the proposals, the big one that everyone's talking about, is the pool being
right,
closed, or at least, you know, put out for a proposal to have a third party come in and run it. So, you know, part of the reduction that it comes from reduced, like, hourly staff, but from some of the utilities that go along with it. But a lot of the savings is coming from eliminating a maintenance mechanic position, which is open right now. It's not actually a filled position. It's an open position that we are looking to fill. But reducing that, because facilities, there's so much work and time involved in getting that pool up and running at the beginning of the year, shutting it down at the end of the year, and then throughout the season, keeping it going. So that's really where you're seeing those reductions. So when you see also that, you know, we are reducing services down at the mall, or some of the forest hill mowing maintenance, you know, that's where you're seeing, like, parks maintenance worker reductions and some of our parks worker reductions. Also, with the closure of the pool, we have a full-time staff person who manages the during the winter or during the summer. And then he also assists with a lot of the winter recreation management. So again, eliminating that position is where a lot of the savings is actually coming from.
Okay. And a lot of the, well, we don't want to get too deep into this here, probably not really pertinent. Winter, I imagine that person oversees a lot of the ice skating that goes on around town.
He oversees a lot of the community service side of the winter rec department. So like the rentals and staffing at the shelters during the winter. Mm-hmm. And then again, some of the reductions in the field staff are coming from the fact that we will not have people to do the maintenance on ice rinks and some of the other amenities.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, good to hear that it won't affect the conservation parks too much, because good to see these things moving ahead. Hard to let some of these nice areas go. They'll just get developed over time otherwise. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Paul. Great work.
Thanks.
Good deal. Thanks, Brock. Michelle?
Yeah, just to add to this discussion on budgets, I can't put it in. Well, we don't have a chat box, but Brock, specifically to your questions, if you look up the Board of Park Commissioners, and if you look at our past meetings from Wednesday, August 14th, I know Chad just gave a great overview of what might happen with the budget, but Eric also gave a really good overview and kind of detailed of what's happening with the budget and then how it's specifically affecting parks. So if you look in the agenda from August 14th, and scroll all the way to the bottom, there's Eric attached his presentation to that. So that's a good place to look.
Thank you.
I guess just specifically on this plan, Paul, with the intent that this will be added to the Ice Age, that the Ice Age Trail will continue through this and even beyond. Have you all worked with Ice Age Trail Alliance on either developing this plan or volunteer efforts out there?
No. I know there was some discussion with the Ice Age Trail Alliance initially when we acquired the property, and there was some talk of maybe like having them have an easement or own like a strip that's 10 acres along the north end of the property. But it seems like that's kind of going on hold until we actually have a corridor that's acquired all the way through. Our trail system sort of crosses the street right from where the trail terminates on the east side of Woods Road right now. And so we kind of just envision it coming through wherever it makes sense to have a trail on the property. And then additionally, there'll be a little loop to enjoy the park. That's kind of as far as we've gotten so far. I do see Gary Warner every now and then with Ice Age Trail Alliance, and he's always reminded me that their volunteers are eager to come help. So I'll definitely be reaching out to them to do some work on the property.
And I mean, it seems like you all are just kind of, I mean, you've been hiring out the management, and so you're kind of just approaching this property now. So
Makes
sense. Yeah. Cool. Great. Well, this is awesome. Thank you for sharing this with us.
Yeah, sure.
Great. Thank you, Paul.
All right. You're welcome.
Do we have anything else? I think that was it, right? Chad, I had a question for you, actually. Chad, you there?
Yeah, sorry, I had trouble finding my mute button. Yeah, fire away.
No worries. Hey, I think one of the things that Habitat Stewardship Subcommittee actually did was be involved in housing, house moving.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still under our purview? How does that work?
Yeah, like the tree permitting for house moving, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Okay, because I know there was a big house move a couple months ago, right?
I don't know.
There was. Well, I mean, on social media, whatever. But a lot of people ask me, like, so what'd you think about the house move? You know, like, didn't know about it until you told me, resident person.
Yeah. If there wasn't any kind of tree issues with it, we would have been made aware.
There were tree issues.
All right.
Yeah, that's why I don't know.
I'll admit that, we rely on forestry to, and they're made aware of our, you know, our dates. I did talk to some of the specialists in Craig Klinke and Forestry before this meeting just to check and see if they had anything for this one. Okay. They didn't, but I'm unaware of them unless they're brought to my attention. So.
All good. Just part of the process, obviously. Once again, just trying to decipher, figure out how we can best, you know, serve. So
yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right. Sounds good. All right. I think that was it, right?
Adjourn.
All right. Can we get a motion to
adjourn? I will make a motion to adjourn.
Anyone second that one?
I will second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Motion to adjourn is approved. All right.